Andrew Karai, Senior Credit Strategist at River North Capital Management, is here. And we're talking about yields and whether you should stretch for more now on The Navigator. Welcome to The Navigator, where we talk about all-weather active investing and plotting a course to financial success with the help of closed-end funds. The Navigator is brought to you by the Active Investment Company Alliance, a unique industry organization that represents all facets of the closed-end fund industry, from users and investors to fund sponsors and creators. If you're looking for excellence beyond indexing, The Navigator will point you in the right direction. And today, it's pointing us at Andrew Karai. He is Portfolio Manager and Senior Credit Strategist at River North. And if you want to learn more, well, he is Portfolio Manager for the River North Specialty Finance Corporation, RSF. He's been in the credit market for years, and we're going to be talking about credit. And if you want to learn more about what River North does, you go to rivernorth.com. If you want to learn more about investing in closed-end funds, check out the website of the Active Investment Company Alliance. It's aicalliance.org. Andrew Karai, welcome back to The Navigator.
Great. Thanks for having me back, Chuck.
Investors understand that lower for longer is a reality, and they are looking for other places to see if they can't get some yield. Other places for the average investor is what you call breakfast. It's like where you live your life, because your life is not, hey, let me spend all my time focused on treasuries and government bond funds. You're doing the corporates and some of the other stuff and some of the things that are a little bit more esoteric. So give us first a bit of an overall picture of where you think the interest rate model is right now. But then let's talk about what you specialize in and the timing of that right now for investors who are looking to maybe goose their returns a little bit.
Yeah, no, I think it's a great point. I mean, certainly if you look across the liquid markets, I mean, yield is tight. You have base rates, at least at the front end of the yield curve, basically at zero. And you have, you know, yields within high yield corporate credit at all time tights. So I think investors certainly have a desire and a hunger for yield, but it's frankly tough to find quality yield in this environment in the public markets without stretching to a large extent. I think where we found value, frankly, is looking at some of the private credit managers and mandates. I think an environment like this one, it really shows what managers have the expertise, both on underwriting and origination, the platform scale, and those really, I think we're seeing in real time, drive a lot of alpha or excess return across credit. So right now, if you're an astute credit investor, when you look across the menu for liquid syndicated credit, it's tough to get excited about high yield syndicated loans at 4% and then the unsecured bonds at, you know, about 4.5%. However, I think if you look at some of the private credit managers that have done well in the past, have scale or top tier underwriters, they've been able to navigate this environment quite well and be opportunistic and nimble in how they've been able to deploy capital when a lot of other managers, frankly, have been in a more defensive position.
But when you talk about private capital, you scare off a lot of individual investors. I mean, A, they don't entirely understand it because it's not a market that they necessarily have been exposed to. B, they kind of recognize that, hey, if I do it through a closed-end fund or I do it through a traditional fund, I'm getting there with a public vehicle, but I don't quite understand that mix. Obviously, it's going to be easier for the average investor or even the sophisticated investor to delve into private credit and be safe about it using a fund or a business development company or whatever it might be. But how do you help them understand, A, what's the private credit market that we're talking about? And B, private credits in a publicly traded fund, does that offer a level of protection in case they're nervous about what private illiquid kinds of credits are?
Sure. So I think when people talk about private credit, that's, you know, certainly a wide array of assets. It's middle market corporate credit, some real estate and other asset classes as well. The vehicle I think you sort of talked about, Chuck, that really does give an access point are BDCs or business development companies. So when you're an investor looking to access the private credit markets, or in this case, middle market corporate credit, you've got to look at a number of things. I mean, I think the most important thing when you're looking at a BDC in particular is how has that manager done in the past, not only within its publicly listed vehicle, but if you have access to other mandates from that manager as well. If you do your homework and look at what managers have done well in the past and how they've performed, and better yet, if they have even performance across a previous credit cycle, I think that can lead you to confidence in the future, and certainly seeing how their performance has played out basically from Q1 forward. So I think a good starting point to understanding what's in the portfolios is looking at what is their mix of loans, meaning what is senior secured versus subordinate, and some have equity as well. And then even within that, how has the manager performed from a loss perspective, sort of looking in the rearview mirror, you know, what kind of liquidity does the vehicle have? What's sort of the reputation and scale of the manager as well?
Obviously, we have to speak in generalities here, but help someone understand this is the expectation for this asset class compared to other asset classes and why it's not that much riskier for the extra return.
So I think it comes in two forms. First and foremost, it's what managers do you think are going to protect your downside better, meaning focus on protecting losses versus their public counterparts, right? So if you were to say a reasonable level of defaults, net of recoveries for the high yield market, and I think, you know, depending on who you talk to, you're going to get somewhat differing answers in terms of what losses ultimately shake out with bank loans and high yield bonds. But let's say, just as an example, that number is 3 to 5, right, in this environment. And can you then go out and pick a manager who is going to generate somewhat of a higher yield, but I'd say even more importantly, a lower loss rate and a lower loss experience? Right now, I think it's not a wise environment to stretch in for yield for a number of factors. So I think right now, instead of necessarily focusing on maximizing their excess return, it is really maximizing their risk-adjusted return. And I think the prudent way to do that right now is allocating the strategies that should prevent more downside than what's offered in the liquid credit markets.
You mentioned defaults in there. We, of course, are living through extraordinary times, and we haven't necessarily seen a tremendous amount of defaults yet. There is still a lot of fallout coming as the stock market and the economy try to get back in sync and we see what's going to happen. How worried are you generally that we're going to see default rates? And maybe it extends beyond the corporates and even goes to things like municipalities, because municipalities often rely on tourism taxes and things like that that they're not getting. How bad is it going to get when it comes to defaults going forward?
So there's a couple of things that I think I'd highlight in terms of corporates, in terms of why you haven't seen defaults pick up yet, in my opinion. One is, within the high-yield bond market, these tend to be large, well-capitalized businesses, generally speaking, and I think they've had a lot of help through Fed policy and through stimulus and all those different things. If you go up into the bank loan market, these tend to be smaller companies from an earnings perspective, but they tend to be sectors that are less directly affected by what's happened through lockdown. So I think, frankly, the lack of defaults that have come to fruition so far has been a combination of Fed support, stimulus, and the fact that if you're looking at the high yield market, these tend to be larger companies. And within the bank loan market, broadly speaking, the sectors that would be overexposed to lockdown measures are a relatively small part of that market. I think within the corporate credit market, broadly speaking, assuming that we get back to some sort of a normalized level of economic activity next year, I wouldn't frankly expect defaults to pick up all that meaningfully. You raise an interesting point with the muni market, because there are a lot of states that are suffering due to just a tremendous shortage of tax revenue because companies aren't open, unemployment has picked up, et cetera. So I guess the main driver there is going to be, do they end up getting some help through some sort of stimulus? Can they somehow raise additional liquidity through refinancing bonds, et cetera? That, I think, frankly, is more of a question mark to play out, because from a fundamentals point of view, the picture in many cases doesn't look great. However, there are some levers that they can potentially pull to get them out of the situation, or at least get them enough liquidity in the interim until they can recognize more tax dollars once things get back to normal, hopefully. But I think, frankly, fundamentally, on the corporate credit side, broadly speaking, I think I feel fairly optimistic that you don't see defaults hit a level like they did back in 2009.
Andrew, great stuff. Thanks so much for joining me to talk about it.
Thanks, Chuck.
The Navigator is a joint production of the Active Investment Company Alliance and Money Life with Chuck Jaffe. I am Chuck Jaffe, and you can check out my show on your favorite podcast app or at moneylifeshow.com. To learn more about closed-end funds, interval funds, and business development companies, go to AICAlliance.org, the website for the Active Investment Company Alliance. They're on Facebook and LinkedIn at AIC Alliance. Thanks to my guest, Andrew Karai, Senior Credit Strategist at River North Capital Management. The firm is online at rivernorth.com. The Navigator podcast is available every Friday. Please subscribe on your favorite podcast app and join us again next week to learn more about investing in closed-end funds. Until then, please stay safe.